Good morning, smuts. That's our thing, right?
Hello, smuts.
Yeah. What's up, smuts? Michaela and I, yet again, we regret what we have done for Up the Smut Pod. We are making bad choices.
Yeah, well, let it be known, like, if you did come from last episode, if you're on a little binge, you're on your hot girl walk, I didn't want to do this.
Yeah, true. She did not.
I did it, and you know what? I fucking told you so. I told you so. Yeah. This was not, it was fine. No offense to the Centaur community, to the Hooven potties, but this wasn't it.
Yeah. No, I this was my idea, actually. I don't even know why I said we made a mistake. Yeah, I made a mistake. Okay, here's my issue, though, is that the Centaur and Hooved romances I had read up until this moment have been great. So I feel that I was set up to fail by my previous successes.
The horse community.
The horse community targeted me.
Who is the enemy of the horse community? Because in one of my books, it is the bear shifter community. So is this like propaganda from the bears
to you know make what?
You hate centaurs?
I have read a lot of shifter romance, like a lot. And I, until yesterday, had never read a horse shifter. And really, it's a centaur shifter. So interesting. I think that most of the books I read that are shifters are predators.
Yep.
Actually, in one of them, they laugh about the idea of, like, prey shifters. There, like, are no prey shifters in the series that I adore by Shelley Laurenston. They're all prey. Oh. Are horses prey or predator?
Well, you know, here, like, horse racing is a big thing. I don't partake in the horse racing. I don't think that... You know, I'm not a gambler. I'm too lucky, so I don't gamble on anything.
It wouldn't be fair.
No, it wouldn't. Absolutely not. I have incredible karma. I am still protected by my grandmother's prayers. Like, this is the thing. One thing I do know about horses in real life is one of my friends, she's divorced, and her husband's, like, her ex-husband's a real piece of shit. So I keep, like, trying to gaslight her children into liking horses because there's, like, there's nothing like a money pit. Like, it's like swimming pools in your house and your children owning horses. You might as well just set fire to money. So I'm like, tell daddy, say, daddy, I want a horse. I love a horse. Daddy, I need new riding boots. Daddy, I need a new saddle. The one thing about these books, I read three. I did go rogue, as I often do, because, you know, I saw hooves and I was told centaurs. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to read a satyr romance as well as a unicorn shifter romance.
Yeah. That's fair. It was horny for hooves. Nowhere did I require centaurs. So no, you're good.
So that's what I did. I didn't get the expensiveness of horses, but I mean, all of these were in like a fantasy setting. One is sort of a more kind of urban fantasy, paranormally sort of thing, I guess. That was like a cozy mystery. That was actually a closed door romance.
With a centaur?
With a unicorn.
Or is that the unicorn?
That was the unicorn.
Okay, that's rude. That's rude to write a unicorn romance and have it be closed door.
Exactly.
But that feels disrespectful.
I can tell you about it. He is a vet as well as being a unicorn. He has an inner unicorn. This book, unbelievably, is called Unicorn Vet by Zoe Chant. It's the start of a series. I literally typed into my Kindle Unlimited. If you wonder how I find these things, when Kate gives me the brief, I just typed in unicorn romance and that popped up. He is a man and then he turns into a unicorn. His name is Angel and he is a vet in a small town with a portal that magical beings can come through. He has an inner unicorn that he can shift into but doesn't often shift into it. Like, I think he does it once in the book. So that was a bit of a letdown. His inner unicorn is, a bit of a showman. He's really up himself where Angel's, he's a humble dude. He's a nice guy and he's friends with like a wolf shifter and some other type of shifter that I didn't pay attention to. Now, Everly is our plucky young heroine. She is a manager.
What's her name?
Everly.
Her name is
Everly.
Okay.
Everly. Everly.
How is it spelled? Is it spelled L-Y or L-E-I-G-H?
L-Y. She's not from Utah.
Okay, thank God.
To the Utahians out there.
It still is reading like a fan fiction written by a 13-year-old. I wasn't ever like... the name for fan fictions when we were younger. Like, I swear to God, every other girl was like, ever, Emery, yeah. Everly, like.
No, I completely.
Okay,
completely
I'm having flashbacks right now.
So, Everly is the manager of a French bistro. She's on holiday in a small town, and, you know, she just, of course, hates her job because everything is just, she has to do it all. She's being texted constantly while she's there. Like, turn your phone off, babe, honestly. I also don't really trust her as the manager of an establishment because she didn't know what a Scotch egg was. And I feel like that is a pretty, like, a lot of people know what a Scotch egg is. And then she actually finds a little dragon, little dragonette that she thinks is a rock, and it imprints on her like Jacob does to Renesmee. And guess what she names the dragon that she thought was a rock? Come on,
oh,
guess.
Oh, God, I don't. Parsley.
Rock.
No! My name was way better.
Yeah.
She named him Rock?
No, I know.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like, as soon as Angel sees her, he's just like, oh, my God, that's my mate, of course. And she just loves that. And it's a closed-door romance. There's no fucking on page. It's super low stakes, even though there is a hellhound sort of released on the town. But that, of course, is resolved with the help of an 11-year-old girl. Duh.
Perfect.
And, yeah, there's, like, I can't even remember what the other one is. They're all little interconnected things, but it is the start of a series.
It was like a fever dream.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. A lot going on there.
If I lived in that town and I was a shifter, I would want Angel to euthanize me. He's a vet.
Perfect. And a unicorn. I am very disappointed that he... So he was just a unicorn shifter. Mm. You know, I think... Is it SJ Sanders? I believe she has a romance where the hero... And I half read it, but I did not like the hero's vibe. I believe he is like a unicorn, but he's like he has like hands. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I think he stays a unicorn. Like, I think he has like a unicorn head the whole time. I'm gonna have to look this up. I don't know that he shifts. I think he's just a unicorn all the time.
You know, the thing that this
That's
podcast
just fucking a unicorn.
Yeah, like for two gals who love a bit of monster romance, we sure do find a lot that we don't fucking click with.
Yeah.
Just
these ones, I was telling Michaela before this, I'm like, the two books I set about to read for this podcast, I did not finish either. So I'm partly going to be talking about the books I had read previously, the Centaur books I had read previously that I really enjoyed. And also the reason that I did not finish one book, which I did rant about in my stories. And the other book I just didn't have time to finish. It's going okay. But I would like to start with a book I really enjoyed. Well, it's actually a series. So it's in the Coveted Prey series by L.V. Lane. That's the letter L, the letter V, and the word Lane. But it's like initials and a last name, if you're looking this up. I know people get mad at me because they're like, you talk too fast and then you never mention the author of the book again. And by the time I know it's good, you have already moved on.
Just
the books are called. Yeah. Just, God damn it. Just rewind. I know it's hard though. The books are called The Centaur in My Forest. That is book 8.5 in the series. These are standalones, though. I've read a few books in this series, actually. They're all very different. I think they take place in the same world, technically, but they do not carry from book to book. A lot of them are Omegaverse.
Centaur in My Forest.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
For this?
Yeah.
Or you'd already read it? Oh, okay, perfect. We can chat about it. That's 8.5. That is only 136 pages. That's another issue I had. I went into this thinking I was going to find Centaur books that were like 150 to 200 pages. The two books I picked are like over 300 pages. And I'm like, I didn't.
This is the thing, right? Like, Kate tells me that. And I'm like, I look at it and I'm like, it's 311 pages. I'll read three 100-page books, but I will not read a 300-page book.
I'm struggling to do that nowadays.
Yeah.
But The Centaur in My Forest is only 136. And then there's The Centaur in My Valley, which is book 9, and that is 217 pages. And then when I was looking up how long they were, I found out that L.V. Lane published one called Centaur in My Dreams. Didn't say shit to me. She should have DM'd me.
Yeah.
And that is 259. So we are getting up there. But The Centaur in My Forest has like Stern Brunch Daddy vibes.
Mm.
He's like I don't know if you agree. It's been a while since I read it, so I did refresh my memory with my review. But he's very sweet, but he wants you to listen. He wants you to obey, but he is very affectionate.
So my New Year's resolution was I have to do a synopsis of every book I've read. And obviously, like, I'm really funny. So even, like, in my written thoughts.
Do it.
Here is my thing. Okay, so the guy's name is Axton.
Perfect. Honestly, that is the perfect centaur name.
Yeah, amazing. I love it. Chastity is the girl. So Chastity has been out. She's hurt her ankle. She's a widow. So that's, like, really good. Like, that's immediately, like, we know that she's DTF because she hasn't felt the touch of a man, let alone a horseman. Anyway, so my main takeaway from this here is this is some real horse girl BDSM shit. Christian Grey has been real quiet since the release of this book. They fuck with the help of a contraption that holds the horse hooves, and Chastity is saddled and bridled.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you wondering, I believe that is with the bit in the mouth, correct?
The bit in the mouth. She's got a saddle on. Yeah. He spanks her every morning.
The saddle seems unnecessary.
Oh, he gets the strap. She gets the strap every morning. So, like, she, like, whips her. And this is in, like, less than 150 pages. Like, it is action-packed. This is the one with the bear shifters, the bad boy.
From my knowledge – oh, you're right. Yes, they have enemies. You are right. To my knowledge, though, the cum is magical, right? The more cum she ingests maybe that comes up in the center of my valley. But, like, the more cum they blowjob out of him, the more her body magically learns to accept his dick. So she needs to continue – taking in semen.
Yeah, right? So her body changes so that she can fit the big old horse dick inside. Yeah.
And she gets, like, starts craving the dick, correct?
Craving,
like,
the dick.
It's the magic.
The tunnel opens, as they say.
Yes. Yeah. I remember that phrasing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For people who don't, there is a little bit of, like, dubious consent in a sense, in that, like, the magic of being near a centaur, like, makes you want to be with a centaur if they're, like, meant to be. I think it's, like, if they're meant to be. It doesn't happen for every woman. So it's – there is some question of, like, would she actually be in love with him if she wasn't forced to spend, like, a month with him because she owes him for saving her? It's, like, their, like, rule is that, like, if they rescue you, you owe them a moon month. So you have to spend a month in their care where they can, like, see if their magic works on you and, like, can, like, make you their – mate or something.
Well, I'm truly burying the best part of this, because when Axton brings her to his little house, she doesn't know that he's the chief of the centaur herd. I guess they're a herd. They call themselves they're a herd. It's a herd of horses, right? and me just completely disrespecting the centaur community. And as soon as they get to house, her pussy is, like, dripping. Like, they call it her slick. Her slick is, like, preparing her for Axton. And Axton is just like, you should just be naked while you're in the house, because then you won't get your clothes dirty.
It makes sense to me. It makes sense to me.
Are you a horse girl? Is this, like, some...
I think from my knowledge, in the second book, The Centaur in My Valley, she is forbidden from wearing clothes. It is one of his rules that in the house, and he's like, eventually you will be comfortable going outside the house without clothes, but for now I will allow you a cloak, but soon you will have to be naked at all times among my people. So I think they might compromise later, but it's also interesting because he rescues her. Her husband wants to be with someone else. So she eavesdrops and finds out that he's going to kill her. So she, like, runs into the forest. He sets, like, a band of thieves on her to murder her. And then the centaur rescues her. And he's like, hey, I know you were super traumatized and that your husband was, like, literally about to murder you with, like, 10 dudes that I fought off. But now you owe me a moon month and also no clothes the whole moon month.
These men, and you're going to be dripping cum. Been around for something, aren't they?
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. So it is a little bit, these are a little bit BDSM-y, a little bit domineering guys. The women are definitely submissive. The Centaur in My Dreams, I haven't read yet, but I'm going to. It looks like that is an Omegaverse where she, like, falls through a portal into a centaur world, and he, like, this asshole finds her. And I wrote down Omegaverse and I wrote Craves Come. Those were my notes.
Bitch made so
I do. I did like this series a lot, though. Short. I mean, I read like five of the books in the Coveted Prey series. Claimed by Three is also a really good one that I enjoy. That's Omegaverse, I believe. Yeah, it's just it. These are fun, shorter fantasy like series. What else did you read besides what was your Satyr book?
That you were telling the Satyr book. Okay, so this was actually recommended to me by friend of the pod, Bratty Cakes, domesticated brat on Instagram.
Oh, of course,
we plug the fuck out of her, and I think she likes it. So the book is called Stranded in the Satyr's Garden by Sia Petrichor. I would say this is more of like, this could have been like our little Christmas book because it's set around the holidays. Now, this one is pretty funny because the female main character's name is Jessa May. And every time I saw it on page, I would just immediately become a clampet and start saying Jessa May with like a real twang. And I even said that to Brady Cakes. I was like, yo, this is a bit weird. She's at a Christmas party, Jessamay, and her drink is spiked by the boss's son because, you know, like, of course. And
of then course.
A magical door appears, and the exiled satyr Rastus saves Jessamay. And obviously, like, to nobody's surprise, she is his mate. I actually think that there is sort of this scene with him where the door keeps appearing to him because, like, I think he talked some shit to the Satyr people. And this is actually really jarring, guys, because, you know, like, Kate's been roasting me for reading Percy Jackson. And this is not the Satyr and the fucking centaurs that I'm used to from that little middle grade series. So in one
next, part, next we're just going to read Percy Jackson, but fast forward 10 years, fan fiction. That's what we're going to read next.
We should read the Draco and Hermione manacled, like everyone's going on.
Oh my god. Everyone tells me to read that.
Tens of people.
But they also say it's going to ruin your life. And I'm like, that is not a good review to me. I don't want to be my life to be ruined by a fan fiction. Not today.
No. And it's like, well, I mean, one of these books, I'll tell you about it in a second, it's not even on Goodreads. So I couldn't even count it towards my goal.
Did it even happen?
Exactly. So with Jessamay in the Satyr's Garden, and Rastus always calls her Lass, so he's got a Scottish accent. So there's like so many different accents going on in my head, you know, like I've got to adjust my medication or something. His cummies has healing properties and it tastes good. So as part of his job, he just like comes into a bottle and like sells it to people. I was like, this is like
a very Morning Glory milking farmy.
Yeah, I was just like...
Very much like Jack, the pumpkin guy, where it turns out it's like an aphrodisiac, isn't it, or something?
Exactly.
And the parents like...
Hey, are you listening? So,
genius.
This was actually probably the most bearable of the Hooved Friends. It did give me the warm and fuzzies. It didn't give me the... But, you know, it's fine. This Hooves are just not for me. Okay, I think that I was traumatized by Carly, the girl who in year three was playing horses on the oval and she was eating grass. So I'm really sorry if you're a horse girl. I have some obvious issues with things that happened way far in my past. I'm obviously trying to work through them, but this was not the topic for me.
No, this was not the therapy to help you work through your horse girl problems.
This just made me like realize what happens when horse girls grow up and become romance writers. That's their own personal.
That's
problem,
fair.
Though. Yeah,
that's fair.
That one was cute. I would recommend it around Christmas time because it's obviously centered around Christmas. Oh, and the weird thing that I was talking about is the door appearing. It did appear one time to Ratsus or Rats, whatever the fuck his name is. And he saw an old woman holding a baby who we're sort of led to believe might've been like Jessamay, which is like, again, it's
future?
Jacob and Renesmee.
Why is she so old holding a baby? Is she a grandma holding her grandchild?
Yeah, Jessamay was raised by her grandmother.
Oh, so she's the baby and the grandma is. Yeah. Okay. I was like, does he not age and she's now like 90 and like pregnant or something?
My favorite thing is that, you know, he's got a bit of a breeding kink, so he wants to make a fawn with her, which I feel like, it was great. I loved that. So there was that. That's everything that I... Well, I did read one more, but I want to hear something from Kate because I need a break from talking about
I'm just thinking that how do you birth a centaur baby?
How I don't want to know.
Do horses give birth and not get cut up by them hooves?
Well, I think the vagina is bigger on a horse. I don't want to Google that because I've got enough things putting on my fucking watch list.
Yeah, but now I'm like... They're not shifters for the most part, so I'm going to give birth to a half horse, half human baby?
Well, remember...
How does that fit in me?
Well, there actually is a thing in the centaur in my forest, how chastity is like she's around the little, you know, tribe, clan, herd, whatever, and she sees a centaur man with a human wife, and he is hugging a human toddler. So it could just be like a genetic thing.
Wait, in that book, though, isn't it like they become centaurs later? Like they're born human and they become a centaur?
Nothing's mentioned in that book.
Interesting. But yeah, because they do have centaur women. So maybe if you... But what can you risk having a full horse baby if you fuck a centaur? Or no? Like, well, is it always like the
horse, so I'm not going to find it out.
Okay, well, if you're not willing to do that for the podcast, why are you here?
I quit! Find a new fucking Australian.
I'm getting a centaur author on here to answer my questions.
Is this so true? This is the episode that broke the horse's back.
Okay.
To this I say nay. I say nay.
Stop it. Stop it. It's midday for you, but it is too late at night for me and these horse jokes.
All you're going to hear when you're going to sleep is just, Jessamay.
I actually read a shifter romance where her name was Sissy May, but she is Southern, so.
Don't make me say it. Yeah, Jessamay is from New Orleans, so I should probably be saying it with more of a twang, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say you're not, I think you're like in Texas or Georgia right now.
I did read all of the, Tessa Bailey, Runaway Girl, so that's why.
You're very stuck in the South right now. Yeah. Okay, well, I will tell you guys about the one that I was not a huge fan of, but it was because of the content of the book, not anything having to do with him being a centaur. So I read Hoofbeats by Val St. Crow because a lot of people read it recently and DM'd me and said, hey, we do not want to be the only ones who read this. We need you to read it and suffer with us and, like, live this life. I was not able to finish. I was going to try. The last I checked in with everybody, I was like, these are the reasons I'm not feeling it, but I want to push through to the end. But it's, like, 380 pages, and I couldn't after their first time together. And so here's what's up. The writing was a little – it wasn't bad, but it was weird. A lot of internal monologue for the heroine. It's a historical romance, by the way. It is about, I didn't write down their names, but the centaur hero, no one knew there were centaurs. He just shows up like in London, basically, and he's wants to be respectable. And they're very much like new money made by trade is garbage, and you're garbage. Only old money, even if we're broke from gambling, is good money. So the heroine is ruined. She was ruined as revenge on her brother. Like a servant deflowered her because her brother deflowered a servant and the servant ended up dying in childbirth. And so her husband was very upset. And so he deflowers her. And so she's ruined. Her brother's a gambler. They have no dowry, basically, to ship her off to somebody. And the centaur shows up, builds like a giant house and tries to start winning people over. And I was like, okay, this is a little bit weird, but it's interesting. But then...
Carnival Row.
It sounds like what?
Carnival Row.
Is that a book?
It's a TV show on Prime. It's got Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne. But it's this chick who lives next door. I think he's like half goat or something, but they fuck like crazy.
What?
I love how like... When people are like, they're like, have you seen Indiana Jones? I'm like, never heard of it. I'm like, how about this show Carnival Row? I can tell you everything about it.
What is really niche show that's about like a half goat man? Like, yeah.
And it's his head that's the goat as well.
What?
Yeah.
Not his bottom half?
But you know who the chick actually is? The chick who plays her, she plays Georgiana Darcy in the 2005 Pride and Prejudice adaptation.
Well, now I feel like I have to watch. I didn't know that was the actress who played her. Interesting. Okay. Anyways, back to Hoofbeats. So my first strike against the hero is that he confides in the heroine. So it's kind of like a fated mate situation almost, where like not that many women are compatible with centaurs, but when they find them, like, or they're not like compatible as like mates, but when they find them, like, they can tell. So he comes across the heroine in a ballroom and he decides to court her, but he's like new money, doesn't know all the, like, what they're supposed to do, fucks up a couple times. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cute. But then once they're together and married, he confides in her that he was cursed to be a centaur. So he was not born a centaur. It turns out centaurs, actually, it's not really clear if all centaurs are cursed or if some are born, but he was cursed to be a centaur. I did not take that information in if it was told to me. And you find out he was cursed to be a centaur by a witch after he, like, cheated with a young woman. I think he was in a relationship. He had a fiance. He cheats with a young woman. She kills herself. And then a witch curses him to be a centaur because of his. And I was like, ugh, like, I don't know. I don't really like cheating in my books at all. Even if it's like in the hero's past or the heroine's past, I don't like if the hero is cheating with the heroine. I know some people are cool with it like that. They're like, as long as he's not cheating on her, we're good. Right away, though, I'm like,
just saying that.
What?
You lose. What'd you say? How you get them. You lose. Yeah. How you get them.
Yeah. Basically, that's. So I was like, I'm not really into that. But with him, I was like, ooh, like that. Up until this point, I was supposed to see him as like kind of a nice guy. And I was like, that puts a really bad taste in my mouth. Like, that he's just, like, literally caused a young woman to kill herself because of his, like, actions. And he's, like, sad about it, but it feels almost like he's more sad he got cursed.
Yeah.
And so that was strike one. Strike two is when you find out that for a while after he became a centaur, he went to go live with the centaur people, which makes sense. Like, you have a whole new body. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. You're kind of outcast from society. But you find out that the centaurs have this whole thing where they kidnap unwilling human women and keep them, like, in a stable and just sexually assault them repeatedly over and over. They, like, train them and then they, like, sexually assault them. They call it, like, breaking them in. And you find out that the hero participated in that. He didn't round them up, but he did sexually assault an unwilling woman. And I was like, what? Like, I thought I misread it. I reread the section, like, three times thinking, like, no, like, there's no way. And then he says, like, when he left the centaurs, he freed all the women. But he's like, not all of them left because they were broken women. And you're just like,
fabulous.
That doesn't make that doesn't make up for what you did. So right there, I was like, I want to DNF this book. But I was like, I got to push through and just see what happened. Like, I wanted to know if the author could, like, just continued with him being a bad guy. Because at that point, it's like, okay, at least if you're committing to it, and we know he's a bad guy, and you know he's a bad guy, maybe, because I have read books where, like, the hero sexually assaults the heroine, and I was able to finish those. So I'm like, we'll see. But then you get to their first time, and he's been training her with, like, training dicks. And again, just like LV Lane, he has, like, a sock he puts her in for her own safety, and he has to, like, lock his hooves in, because when he gets too excited, he stomps. And they've been known to kill women, like, stomping them to death when mating them. So, I mean, if anything, this is a realistic centaur romance. Like, this is kind of how I believe centaurs would be.
Yeah.
But so they've been training. It was kind of romantic. Like, he genuinely cares for her. I guess true love breaks the spell. He admits he doesn't know if he can ever love her, but he knows that they're, like, compatible. So, yeah, he didn't marry her because he loved her. He married her because it's, like, centaur magic told him that she was, like, it was, like, a possible mate. But, so, she's mad at him because there's no communication. Nobody's fucking talking to each other in this book. They're newlyweds. They barely know each other, but still, he has, like, all these secrets. He keeps going off on secret meetings, and she is rightfully mad, gives him the silent treatment. Then he goes, like, moon mad, because if they go too long without fucking their, like, mate, they'll go, like, insane, and they don't he was like, oh yeah, like the guy, my footman would have had to shoot me in the head if like you hadn't solved the problem. Well, maybe she goes down there.
Would have.
Honestly, she goes down to like, has the footman bring him up. She locks herself into the stocks. And then she has the footman, while she's like naked and spread eagle, bring him in and like hook him up. And then he basically rapes her. Like she consents, but it is like he, or she kind of rapes him. I'm not really sure. So, because he's not mentally like there. He doesn't necessarily consent. It's like the moon madness making him have sex with her. She bleeds. She does not orgasm. It's like all this training led up to basically the worst first time together. This is akin to that historical romance where they have sex for the first time. He basically rapes her. He thinks she consented. She's only consenting because she thinks that women are supposed to. And then in the morning, she's supposed to dump a little bit of blood. Oh, no. Sorry, what? Fuck, what book is this? Is this a Lisa Claypass book or something? They don't have, she tricks him into thinking they had sex. And then she dumps some blood, but she doesn't know how much blood is like natural for a woman. So she dumps like a cup of blood. And he spends like half the book groveling, thinking he like violently raped her. And then it comes out that like they have not even had sex and she was just like fucking with him. So they would never have to have sex. What? Someone DM me what book that is. Like that is a pretty popular book by a bigger author. I don't remember what it is though. But anyways, it was like that. It was like the worst fucking first sex scene. And then I was like, I'm DNFing. Like that's three strikes.
Yeah.
They didn't even have a good first sex scene. It was kinky, but I'm like, this is just not doing it for me. Like it, he's a horrible person. She's annoying. Eh. So I don't know if everybody felt this way and that's why everybody wanted me to read it so we could like all complain together or what. I'm not saying I would never read something by this author again because the writing wasn't bad. It was just interesting, the style. But this book did not do it for me. So for all those who DM'd me, I'm upset with you.
How dare you make me? I think a really good ending for that book that I'm going to imagine it is that he is pulling her along on a little cart because he's, you know, half horse. They're going for a picnic, but then she's like getting angry at him and he just runs them off a cliff, Thelma and Louise style. That's how that book ends to me.
I would consider that an HEA.
Yeah. A golden end, honestly. Like, thank God. It would be like Elon Musk launching himself onto Mars. Like,
perfect. Yeah. We're all just very pleased. Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, so I don't think I would – I'm not going to recommend that book to anybody, but I wouldn't say don't read that author ever. It is just not the right combination of tropes, the right combination of character, personalities, the right story for me. So yeah, what is that? What was your final book that's not even on Goodreads?
No,
sorry. I felt like that was also as long as all of our previous conversation together, but I just really had to get that out. It's been festering inside of me for a while.
And it's out. Out there in the world. The book that is so underground, it's not even on Goodreads, is called Lust in the Library by Aya Ocean.
That was the one I almost read, but then I thought, I was like, I think Michaela read this and I don't want to, I'll try reading something else so we have more to talk about.
You should just read this as a palate cleanser. It was so like inoffensive. Well, there was some body shaming. Let's pull back. Okay. So Christine is our normal girl. She's just, you know, cute little human librarian on her way to work. She's at a coffee shop and she's served by some sort of creature with like fingers, you know, like the monsters are out of the closet, essentially, like things that we
like a person with fingers.
It's like a monster. It's like a something. But
what's defining about their fingers?
Like a predator. Like it's like got claws or something.
Claws. Okay.
Yeah.
I want the full image of what is serving.
Yeah, I don't know if their fingers are digits. Like, would it be digits? I don't know. I'm very fucking like I'm particular today. I'm getting to the root of
appendages.
Appendages. Yeah. So They just come out a few years ago. It was really cute. So Jack is a centaur, bless him. He's, you know, got like beautiful chest hair. He was wearing a shirt though. I want to say that. Like Jack is sort of, you know, he's in with the humans. And he is looking for some history because Jack was adopted as a centaur. So he wants to find out about his people. But that, like, you don't even need to remember that because this book goes for like 60 pages. And he is just reading a book. And this snake woman comes into the library and she's trying to chat Jack up and Jack's just not interested. And then as the snake woman is leaving, she says to Christine, oh, you know, that's, a mighty fine man. Maybe he would like someone big like you. And I wanted to be like, Christine, this bitch sheds her own skin several times a year. Like, kick the fuck out of it. But Christine, of course, she doesn't. You know, it's whatever. So Christine is, you know, really crestfallen by an actual snake woman talking shit about her. Like, hello, you know, fuck you. Anyway, so Jack is like, okay, well, I'll see you later, Christine. I'm just going to take these books with me. It's going to be all good. And Christine, to cheer herself up, she decides to masturbate while thinking about Jack at her place of work. Doors are all open.
Risky, you know, business.
Exactly. And as she's, you know, like getting herself there, she's saying, oh, Jack, oh, Jack, oh, Jack. So who walks in?
Of course.
And Jack
is love that trope, though. I love the overheard while masturbating trope.
The best part is sweet Jack. He has this book and it's actually just about like breeds of ponies that he's just trying to return. Like, he's like, I don't think this one has anything to do with me. And then of course they fuck on the table, you know, like it's real hot and there's just fucking buckets of cum. There's just cum everywhere on everything. And then, you know, they toddle off. It's all good. And Christine's like, oh, what an amazing experience. You know, for little old me, like it's just a one night stand. She goes in, smells a lot of cleaning products. So she's like, feels really bad that the cleaner would have had to have essentially like use a whole bottle of God knows what to get rid of the fucking horse cum on everything. And the book ends with Jack cantering in with a cup of coffee for Christine.
Aww, well, that's sweet.
It was cute, yeah. So like,
why?
I've got that. End that one on a high note.
Why is it that like all of my favorite tropes are things I would fucking hate in real life?
Oh, you know you're not a fan of being caught masturbating by a stranger?
No, that's my fucking nightmare. And so is buckets of cum. Like, the idea of having to take a full shower every time I'm intimate is like just an absolute nightmare for me. Like, no. And then like size difference, like, no, please do not tear me open with your enormous cock. Yeah. No.
No, the size difference.
I love it all in my books.
I feel like size difference to me, like, I don't know. I feel like Australians, we're sort of tall people. So when they're like, oh, this person was like 5 foot. I'm like, my daughter is 4'11". She's fucking 10. I'm like, grow, honestly, put on some heels, you know, just.
And then. But you guys give off short girl energy though.
It's because I'm so feisty. That's why. we're tall girls. Tall, cool girls, obviously.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, the book I'm currently reading, I won't talk too much about it because I'm only like 30% in, but I'm reading Heartaches and Hoofbeats by, oh no, is it Maz Maddox? I believe.
Maz Maddox.
And I didn't know. I read the blurb and I was like, oh, it's like a female outlaw and like a centaur shifter, so he can shift. So I don't know that there will be actual any like horse cock sex or anything like that. I guess we'll see. But no, it turns out it's a gay romance.
Oh.
It's an MM. Don't Michaela has something to say, button press me.
I imagined when you said that he is a centaur shifter and it's a Western, like in their little Western outfit. Because I'm like, I ride hard for the back.
He's a sheriff. Centaur shifter.
So I love Back to the Future, so I'm just immediately thinking like, but I'm imagining this man running and then all of a sudden like a transformer just like shifting into it.
I think it's slightly slower. I actually don't know. We haven't seen him transform into the centaur yet, just him coming out of the centaur, but he always wraps a little skirt because of human sensibilities. He has like a centaur culture kilt. Basically.
Release the horse dong, yeah. Basically.
But Jesse is the hero, and he's the outlaw. So when it started and it said he, I was like, this cannot be right.
Oh my God.
I thought this was a lady outlaw. But
is that it's Jesse James.
Yeah. I reread multiple times. I was like, am I misreading this? I will say it was a little bit confusing in the beginning because you have three centaurs who all have like kind of shorter names. And I was like, I kept having to go and be like, Who's the hero?
Who's gonna fuck?
Yeah, and it's third person too. So I was like, okay, is Mac or Cal or this other guy the hero? I finally got it. It's Cal.
Okay, Cal.
I'm pretty sure. I'm like Cal. 80% sure. But yeah, it's a Western outlaw sheriff situation. Right now, Jesse is supposed to be sent basically to his death. He's going to be like hung or something. So, yeah, he's kind of annoying, but I get it. Like, maybe he's like an outlaw. Honestly, I'm not too broken up about it right now. We'll see if he wins me over, but I am enjoying it. And I told my friend Shayna, and she was like, oh my God, that author writes dinosaur romance. So we're putting that down as a future reading topic for the... Michaela's gonna vomit.
I've read that one. I love how, like, every time Kate's like, she just drops it on me, so I can't say no on the podcast, but my face is, we'll have to get her to record it one time, because it literally just smells, like, it looks like I smell dog shit, like, when...
We'll take some time between the centaur. We'll take some time, okay?
You won't have to read it. We talk about things like future episodes. We're like, this is what people want to see. And I'm like trying to convince Kate that I think we should read each other's like book. Because I'm always like, she's going to hate Havoc. And I was like, you know what? You can read Havoc. Because
I asked if I should read Havoc. And you originally told me no. Nobody you were like, do not read it. You will hate it.
Yeah, you will. But I think that you'll be like, I can imagine the messages that I will get from you. Yeah. You're like, these people are in high school.
Okay, she offered to read Baby in the Late Night Howlers. Like, it's some fucking form of punishment. You get to read Baby in the Late Night Howlers, and I have to read a high school Havoc where when you put the books in order, the initials on the books don't even spell out Havoc?
What's a book that you would read that I would hate?
I don't know. All the books I read are dope.
The Michelle Obama one.
You mean Becoming by Michelle Obama. Perfect. That would be a great, I'm reading Havoc, you're reading Becoming by Michelle Obama on our podcast. That's a great episode. Everybody will love to read it or to listen to that. Perfect.
I'm going to tweet it. I'll be like, would you like to be on our podcast? We're two up and coming female entrepreneurs.
Don't look us up beforehand.
Well, that was my dad. My dad's like, what are you up to today? I'm like, none of your business. Old man.
I'm going to find him and I'm going to DM him a link with no... explanation.
Yeah, good luck. He doesn't know how to open that.
We'll see. I'll track him down on your social media.
I blocked him.
Okay, well, I want to end on like a high note. Well, okay, so one book I wanted to read that I didn't.
There was a high note to this episode.
No, there's a high note. Well, Lesson in the Library was kind of a high note. That sounded sweet. I kind of regret that I didn't make that one of my books. But I wanted to read, but I know this book is hella long because G.A. Aiken's books are all hella long. But the Blacksmith Queen is supposed to be a centaur. So G.A. Aiken normally writes. So she also writes as Shelley Laurenston. Shelley Laurenston writes my absolute favorite shifter books, except for, and this is weird, because everybody seems to love them, but I fucking hate the Honey Badger series. So I'm sorry if you're listening to this. I read one of them. They did not kiss until 80% through.
No.
It didn't even feel like a romance. No. It felt like fantasy with a few kisses. I don't think, and they didn't kiss until 80% through, so I don't think they had sex until like 90-something. Meanwhile, it was confusing because her previous books were filthy, like absolutely filthy, like fucking so much. So I don't know if she's like trying to something new and trying to move away from that, kind of like a la Nora Roberts is kind of moving away, from her previous like style, like we talked about. But G.A. Aiken is her name where she writes her dragon romances, which I fucking love. But again, they're kind of like slower burn. They're definitely deeper fantasy romances. The first book, I forget, they're all similar names, but the first book in the series is like, has Anwyl, who's like a literal badass bitch. She's known as Bloody Anwyl because she just like fucking mows men down on the battlefield, like just hacks them in half. And she meets a dragon and she also meets a man and she doesn't know for like 50% of the book that the dragon and the man are the same person and they don't tell her. So she's kind of falling in love with them both, which I think is like kind of nice. Like yeah. She's falling in love with the dragon knowing that she cannot physically be with him because he's like a huge fucking dragon. It's not one of those, like they never fucking dragon form. But it's like, it's a really in-depth, seriously written, intense series. Like, there is culture wars. There is such detail. It's fabulous. I highly recommend it. So I wanted to read The Blacksmith Queen because it's supposedly, and so said the blurb, it's about centaurs. So, but in her dragon series, there's minotaurs that get, like, absolutely mowed down by Anwyl too. Which brings me to the final hooved book of this episode, Morning Glory Milking Farm. And I've talked about it a lot. I still feel like there are some of you who are on the fence about it. That feels fucking rude. Do you not trust me?
after this episode.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But do you not trust me? Because this book is so, it's cozy meets like 20. Minotaur dick meets jerking off job.
Yeah.
But her job is jerking off Minotaur. So it's, I think her name is Violet. Violet, very realistic, cannot find a job after grad school. Can't fucking find one in her field. I don't even remember what her field is. Takes a temporary job at more, I think it's actually called Morning Glory Milking Farm or something. It's like a factory kind of setting. It's like a medical setting. It's like donating semen for, you know, whatever, so people can have babies. It's kind of like that. But Minotaurs need to be hand milked because they found out that when they use machines, they do not get as much. It's about physical contact for the Minotaurs or something like that. Honestly, it's been a little bit since I read it. Talk about it a lot. Probably getting some things wrong. And Violet takes this job, and what they do is they turn the semen collected into they get paid, and then they turn it into like Viagra for human men. So this is like a world in which humans and monsters kind of coexist. There doesn't seem to be a lot of strife. I mean, there kind of is. There's some prejudice, but they live in a town where humans and monsters like willingly coexist. There's like monster-only towns, and then there's human-only towns, and it's in the same series as her Girls Weekend series. Not the same series, but the same world. I forget what it's called. It's like Cambridge or whatever. But Violet ends up, for most of the Minotaurs and her, it's all business. She doesn't mind. She's just like jerking them off. When they start to give her, she learns their signs when they're about to finish, puts the like cup on there, catches all the semen. It's like 24 ounces of semen. It's amazing. But she starts to fall for a kind of grumpy guy who comes in. He's very businessy about it. He's just like in, out, like checking his watch, you know. But he starts to be affected by her, like when she's doing it. I think they meet outside at one point. It's like a slow burn, though. There's like no kissing or anything until like pretty far through the book. And then, yeah, he has hooves, so they have to like figure out how to fuck in her tiny bedroom and how not to like scratch up her floor or like fuck up her mattress because there's so much cum and everything. So there's a lot of like nuances, but it was really sweet. It's a very sweet book. It's so weird. Everyone's like, yeah, it's cozy monster, which I think is kind of a genre. Like, I feel like Lillian Lark writes cozy monster in a sense too. Like her Stalked by the Kraken book. I always say it's like cozy mystery meets monster fucking. Very strange. But that's kind of the vibe of that I love, actually. So yeah, that's our last hooved book. Feels like cheating because he's not a horse, but there's a lot of Minotaur books. I think Ashley Bennett also coming out with a Minotaur book soon?
I'm fairly sure.
I believe
certain,
she posted art about that. I should check before I go promoting people that are in art.
Well, while you're doing that, I have had a request from a listener and they want to hear a little bit more about us. So, like, you know how we used to end the episodes back in the olden days with a question that you sort of had to answer on the fly?
Yeah. When it was Romantically Inclined podcast, right? We kind of did that.
Before I fucking bullhorned my way in here and was like, you know what? I'm here now. It's
before
my friend.
I absolutely begged you to be on here. You weren't even that excited at the beginning. You were like, I don't know. And I'm like, bitch, I need a co-host because I cannot listen to myself talk to myself anymore. I fucking hate it.
I thought I would go really easy on you. What are your top five favorite pizzas?
Okay, I thought you were going to be like the top five hoofed animals you would fuck. So this is really
this is
easy.
Cozy vibes.
But also, you will be so disappointed because I only eat pepperoni pizza. I do not eat any other kind.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. See, I went really hot with mine.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. So first, let me tell you why I'm horrible before you answer.
She's from Chicago.
So I used to not like cheese or tomatoes. So what I would do is I would take the pepperonis off. I would scrape off the cheese and sauce, and I would put the pepperonis back on and just eat, like, pepperoni bread.
Oh, yeah.
That got me a lot of horrible looks, and I was peer pressured into eating pizza like a regular person. So now I can, but I will not eat pizza that has chunky sauce. If the tomato ends up in my mouth, like a chunk of a tomato, I will riot.
Wow.
I hate tomatoes. I tried to take a bite of a tomato, like, last year to see if my palate had changed, and my body spit it out. Against my will.
Wow.
Like, my body was like, what? No, you are not eating that. That is disgusting. So that's me.
That's cool.
Are you glad that you got to know me?
Yeah, absolutely. Because now, not only did I learn that you only eat pepperoni pizza, I know that you have textural issues with chunky tomato sauces.
Do you think this is why I could not handle buckets of cum, though? I think I would. My body would also just spit it out.
It's a sensory thing for sure and certain.
I would insult all the monsters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'd be like, no, you cannot come in my mouth. You must come over my shoulder on the sheets.
What about on my tits? Your tits? No?
I don't want to have to shower. I'm telling you right now. Okay. I don't want to do a full body shower at 11 o'clock at night. I'm a nighttime fucker.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Understandable.
Did you ask what my favorite pizza was?
Yeah. But as per usual, we got a better answer than we could have ever expected. I went in hot. Like, I did a little questionnaire and it was just like, what's your favorite pizza? I was like, Hawaiian. I fucking love Hawaiian pizza. No, but my real favorite pizza is one that my husband makes me. It's got pumpkin. What's the other thing? Pumpkin, pine nuts, spinach, zucchini. But I don't like bread. Okay, no, wait. No. Let's pull that back. Okay. I actually have a vendetta against shit bread. So when I'm having a burger, I want the filling. I don't want to be fucking chewing on bread for my whole life. So there's this place called Grilled in Australia. It's like a little burger place. I always get the low carb bun, not because I care about fucking carbs, but because it's like really thin. And then I've got maximum like filling. Same thing with Betty's burgers. Betty's burgers, I get it in a lettuce wrap. People think that I'm fucking crazy. It's like, I don't want to be fucking chewing on bread all day. But having said that, like a proper, beautiful rye or like something like that. Like, yes, good bread, but shit pizza bread, no.
Mm-hmm.
So thin crust, loaded with toppings, and then I'll have like two pieces max.
Okay. I would like to try the pumpkin one.
The pumpkin one, I haven't had it since we did that fucking Halloween episode, but you know, the things we do. But there we go.
We should have had Leprechaun. We missed out on the Leprechaun fucking episode.
And thank God for that. Thank fucking God for that. Okay. We don't want to ruin the national holiday of the Irish people, or do we? There's always next year.
Yeah, we'll start compiling them now.
I'm already pre-annoyed. I'm already pulling the faces. I'll do like a series of the faces and we'll put it up on the story so you can check it out. Like, yeah.
Hey, like at minute 53, Michaela made this face in response to this.
Yeah. 100%. But yeah, so that about does us for our hooved hotties who turned out to be hooved noddies. Fuck them. But no, I wouldn't fuck them. I wouldn't fuck the centaurs. Wouldn't fuck the satyr. Michaela, wouldn't fuck the unicorn.
Yeah. Michaela votes no. She's not horny.
I vote nay. I vote nay on that one.
Gross. Next week is a Patreon episode, so if you are not on the Patreon, that's cool, no worries, but that every month the Patreon people get a episode of me chatting with them about various topics. And then the week after that, Michaela and I decided to do Praise Kink.
Woo! And you praise are such Lord. A good girl if you have made it to the end of this episode. I am so proud of you. You're doing so well.
Now I'm turned on. Actually, okay. So I would like to be praised at all times in real life.
Do I not do a good enough job?
That's the kink I want to live. I'm just saying, like, I talked about all the kinks I love to read about and wouldn't want to live. No, here's the thing. I do not want to be complimented. I want to be praised. And I think they are different. I don't want to be told like, oh my God, you're pretty. Oh my God, I love your shoes. No. I want to be told like, you worked so hard on that dinner and it was amazing. Thank you. You know, like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
So take note.
I'll email friends. Your husband immediately. I love it. Every episode we're like, Kate's like, yep, cool. We're going to make it like, 35, 40 minutes. It is 54 fucking minutes. So enjoy. Right. We're going to say goodbye to you now. Well,
under an hour. It counts.
Kate's gonna go to bed.
Yeah, I'm fucking tired. So thank you for tuning in with us today. Thank you for recommendations, for commenting on our shit all the time, for DMing us the parts you like and not DMing us about the parts you hated. We appreciate that every single day. You can always pop into our DMs and we will answer. Nice. Yeah, because we love that shit. So yeah, I guess stay smutty, stay slutty, and read whatever the fuck you want.
Bye. But
maybe don't read Hooves, maybe. I mean, you say do nay. You.
Say nay.
Say nay to Hooves. Bye.